It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. Coming at you every week to talk all the things that make us love sports. The games, the rivalries, and of course, the personalities.
The March. I almost said the March, man. I'm going to go to the Walmart.
I like indefinite articles, okay?
Can we just start over?
Absolutely.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's another episode of the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. Thank you for joining us and happy Labor Day, or as we call it in Louisiana, happy 0-for-1 day.
That's not a very pleasant day when you put it like that, man. That's not.
The opening weekend, well, it's not actually. It's week one. I guess you still count week zero, especially when Vanderbilt was playing, right, Darren?
That's right. That's right. When Vanderbilt was 1-0, we always are going to count it. That's exactly right.
But Mondays bring so many emotions. If your team did well, you're celebrating, thinking, dreaming of national championship aspirations. When your team gets humiliated on national television, you're wondering what just happened.
What went wrong?
Whatever state of mind and however you're feeling today, you are welcome. This is a safe place on the Brewing Shavers Sports Podcast. Probably, though, the biggest story, Darren, coming out of this weekend was Colorado.
Oh, absolutely.
What an incredible game. They were more than 20-point underdogs into Fort Worth to play TCU, and they came out with I think it's a huge win. Yeah, TCU lost a lot of players from last year. I've heard that argument. But think about Colorado and what's transpired since Deion Sanders took that job. And to go down there and pull out a win like that, pretty amazing.
Yeah, and to make the argument, well, you know, TCU had a big roster turnover. Did they? Compared to Colorado, did they have a big roster turnover? I mean, what was it, 53 players? Isn't that the number they were talking about? 53 players are different from last year's team to this year's team. So that's really an incredible. And his son, Shadur, 500 yards passing. Goodness gracious. Because, you know, yes, there was the turnover and all that kind of stuff, or the roster turnover and all that stuff at TCU that people talk about, or that we just talked about. But that was a TCU defense that in Big 12 circles, they didn't do very well against Georgia, but in Big 12 circles, they were a strong defense that hurt a lot of people, that kept offenses from doing the very things that they wanted to do. And they did not do that against Colorado. I mean, when you give up 500 yards passing, you were defeated on defense. You weren't just exposed. You were destroyed. And they did it with ease. It made it look like.
Yeah, he set a record for passing yardage for any Colorado quarterback, an incredible debut effort for him. But we also have to mention Colorado's secret weapon. In this day and age of specialization, how rare to see a player play on both sides of the ball.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it really is incredible what, regardless of how the rest of the season looked, what they've been able to do during this offseason and then what they look like on the field for the first week. It really is impressive what they're doing in Colorado.
Big things ahead. They have Nebraska at home this week. So Nebraska coming off another heartbreaking loss. Yep. Unfortunately, Matt Rhule has not stopped the curse from the Scott Frost tenure.
No.
So we'll see how that goes. Colorado trending upward, Nebraska trending downward. We'll see what happens when the two of them meet. But definitely exciting to see. It's good to see the job that Deion Sanders is doing. I know he received a ton of criticism this offseason. And some people love him. Some people hate him.
Right.
But, wow, it's hard to argue with the result that we saw Saturday.
That's exactly right. And I think throughout his tenure, even if he, you know, has success here, moves on somewhere else, or if he stays at Colorado and takes them to the top of the mountain, or if it doesn't go as incredible as it kind of looks like it might right now, whatever those paths it goes down, he's going to be a polarizing figure. I think that's, you know, when he played. That's not new. He was a polarizing figure when he played. People loved him or people hated him, and there didn't seem to really be an in-between in any way.
Incredible output result for Colorado. the polar opposite of what we would consider to be a total failure in a game. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's talk about our three takeaways. Maybe not as later as I thought. Darren, as you look at this past weekend of college football, what was your first takeaway?
Well, the first thing I have to mention, let me lower my head just a little bit to make sure that you see my hat. Oh, who is that on my hat? That is the team that's 2-0 and still atop the SEC. Just while I can say it, I wanted to point it out. It definitely looked like a better week this week for Vanderbilt than it did last week. The Hawaii game ended up being a little bit scarier than it should have been, but they played the way they should have this week, pulled away in the second half, and again, most importantly, 2-0, number one in the SEC. Just wanted to point that out. That's my first takeaway from the week. How about you? What's your first takeaway?
And I celebrate and rejoice with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Even in my grief.
Even in your despair.
I'm not sure I can add much more to what Brian Kelly said at his press conference, but
oh yeah.
LSU is my first takeaway, and the takeaway is that they were in a game that they did not belong to. They did not belong in.
Right.
There was an eerie feeling, Darren, at the beginning when they could not punch it in from the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was just a harbinger of the rest of the game. Now, yep. There's a lot of commentary given about what happened. I think it goes to the coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of scheme were they running where Harold Perkins is virtually taken out of rushing the passer?
Yeah.
And he's dropping back in coverage, what, 23 plus times or mm-hmm. more than that? Mm-hmm. He's only rushing the passer 7 times.
Yep.
Now, Florida State is an outstanding football team. I look for them to win the ACC this year. They are solid. And frankly, they pushed LSU around in the trenches.
Yeah.
That surprised me. I didn't think offensive line would be a weakness for LSU, but they got pushed around in that game. And I'm also very concerned about their secondary, Darren.
Yes.
That's going to be a huge problem mm-hmm. this coming year. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many issues there, but the big one for me was, you know, LSU did not look like they belonged on the field with Florida State in the second half.
Right.
And, you know, you look at how Florida seems so ill-prepared against Utah. At least LSU didn't have all the penalties, but still the effort wasn't there. The execution mm-hmm. wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at, you know, we were talking about Colorado, what Deion Sanders did down there, and it's just amazing. And so, you know, last week I said, Darren, that Brian Kelly was starting to win me over. I think I'm back to how I felt when they first announced he was hired as the coach for LSU.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but I will say this for him, you know, at least he owned it in the press conference.
He didn't
come in and make a bunch of excuses and say, well, if this would have happened and that would have, we just stunk. I mean, you know,
yeah.
So I give him that. I applaud the fact that in this day and age and the way a lot of coaches approach things, he owned it.
He did
completely and totally. So I give him that.
There's no easy way to deal with that when you get embarrassed on national TV. But I think some of the criticism of Jaden Daniels is unfair. I think he played overall a pretty good game. Receivers dropped some balls. Of course, he missed some reads. Every quarterback is going to miss some reads. But my big concern is with the coaching staff. And as you said, Brian Kelly took responsibility for that. But but I got to say, Coach Kelly, you've got to stop doing this. You know, you've got to stop dragging my heart around, okay? You just... Come on, man. That was my first takeaway.
All right, you got to give me a heads up when you're going to do that. I'm panicking, looking at my computer screen like, what video has started playing?
Just a little Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty.
Hey, you just can't go wrong with that. I mean,
we all choose the ways we're going to self-medicate after a devastating loss. And
that's right. Yours is Tom Petty.
Well, I'll go ahead and give my second takeaway
for
the week. And that is a press conference from the Indiana head football coach, Tom Allen. Now, they lost to Ohio State, as they typically do. what a tough job. I watched, I watched a little bit of that, Darren. They didn't even fill their stands. They were hosting Ohio State and they did not even fill their stands. But one thing that caught my attention about Tom Allen, I know we don't cover the Big Ten much. It's out of our purview. But his press conference, he was talking about his upcoming game against Indiana State, which is this coming Friday. Now, exactly. I have a very strong position on this.
Yes, yes, you do. We as a podcast do.
Friday nights are meant for high school football. So imagine my joy when I heard Tom Allen talk about his game Friday night and say the Big Ten scheduled this, we as a university did not, or an athletic program, we did not. That's out of our control. And he said, well, go ahead and play the clip of what he said.
Let's see what he has to say.
Can't really dive into those. And we don't have, there's no off day this week. Monday's usually our off day. We'll practice on Monday because of our Friday game. So, but you know how I feel about Friday night games. That's not a decision that we make. That comes straight from the Big Ten. So if anyone wants to complain about that, don't talk to me. Okay. And so that's Friday night football. It's for high school football. Bottom line, I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, until somebody tells me to shut up. So, and I'll probably say it again. Friday night football is for high school football.
Say it again, coach. Say it again.
He is speaking your language, isn't he?
I don't know anything about Tom Allen. I know very little about Indiana football, but that's a man after my heart right there.
I was to say, he very quickly became one of your top five favorite coaches, didn't he?
way to call out the Big Ten and other conferences who are getting so greedy for the, those dollars and for that television coverage that, come on, man. Come on, what is more American than Friday night high school football?
Yep, I agree completely.
How about your second takeaway?
Well, since you said getting tired of those schools that are the big schools being greedy, I'll just kind of piggyback off of that, and that'll be my second takeaway, and that is the games we watched this weekend. And I'm not even going to get outside of the SEC. Like you said, that's kind of outside of our lane, at least where we are right now. But when you look at the SEC games this weekend, when an SEC team won, the average margin of victory was 41 points. That's not a ball game. And we've talked about this before. And honestly, I think we get a little bit more upset about the games in November that are like this than the ones in September. But I get it. I get the fact that you have to have tune-up games, that there needs to be some preseason games, the equivalent of preseason games. But my thing is, let's start acting that way. That's my second takeaway from this past week. Let's call it what it is. It is every one of these games, unless you are an LSU that schedules a Florida State, unless you are an Alabama that this coming week is scheduling Texas, and we'll talk about that later. And I know there have been some other games that were bigger games like this, and there's going to be some more this coming week. And as we get closer to the conference schedule, it'll be more and more like that. But if you have a game that's in the month of September and you're going to beat somebody by 75 points or 65 points or whatever it is, the stuff we saw this weekend, why not treat it like what it is and just say these are tune-up games, the equivalent of an NFL preseason game. We're not going to ask season ticket holders to pay for these games. What we're going to do going forward is we acknowledge here's the two or three games during this season that most likely are going to be blowouts, and we're not going to include these in season ticket packages, but what we're going to do is we're going to open it up to the general public. They'll go on sale week before the game, 2 weeks before the game, whatever it is, and it's $25 a pop, whatever it is. Let these be games that people who aren't going to be season ticket holders, if you're at Alabama or if you're at Tennessee, you know, places like that, LSU, where people have to buy tickets at a higher price from a third party to be able to get into a game because everything is sold out for the most part. Give this as an opportunity to give your fan base that's not going to be season ticket holders an opportunity to get in the game, to see a game maybe once a year, maybe once every 5 years. But either way, it's giving that opportunity for a family of four, pay $100, get in the gate and see a game that they otherwise might not have an opportunity to do. Let's acknowledge it for what it is and use it as an opportunity to reach out to the rest of the fan base. And if you're a Vanderbilt, do the exact same thing as hopefully an opportunity to build a fan base, that a family of four does get to come and see a game. And there's two kids, three kids, whatever. They're going to see a football game. They haven't gotten to see one yet. And they're there. And that increases your opportunity of making a fan on that day. To me, this makes a whole lot more sense than forcing season ticket holders to pay $50 and $60 a game to watch somebody get beat 73-7 and leave at halftime because the game's over with. If you give that opportunity, like we're talking about, those people are going to be there when the game starts and probably stay till the game end because it's the only game they're going to see this year or for the next, like I said, 3 years, 5 years or whatever. To me, that makes a whole lot more sense than trying to treat these games as something other than what they are.
Great idea, Darren. I can get behind that 100%. You know, the flip side of that, as you mentioned, the tune-up game, the flip side is what happens to LSU, what's happened right, to LSU, exactly. What, the yep. last 4 years?
Yep.
You take on a heavyweight to open up the season, you risk a loss, and you risk yep. being humiliated, and that's tough, especially when you're the only game on at that time.
Yep. And you know, I think the one thing I will say is tune-up game, preseason game, whatever you want to call it, what happened to LSU this past weekend does give some validity to, even if your big game is going to be Florida State, the second game, maybe you do need to, if you're LSU, play, you know.
Grambling.
Exactly. Maybe flip those two. Grambling is week one. Florida State is week two. Maybe that makes a little bit more sense to get some of the kinks and the rust off before you go rolling into Orlando, Tallahassee, wherever.
Mm-hmm. Great points. What about your third takeaway, Darren?
All right. My third one is Tez Walker. And again, because it's not in the SEC, people might not be overly familiar. But I actually saw a lot of Twitter activity about this weekend. It really stuck to me. Tez Walker Tez Walker is at North Carolina and has applied for eligibility because he's transferred twice. He first started out at North Carolina, I believe it was North Carolina State, went there in 2020, did not play a game because North Carolina State, because of the pandemic, canceled their season. So he never played a game as a member of the North Carolina State football team. Then he transferred to Kent State, had some family issues going on at home. He's from the Charlotte, that North Carolina, that central North Carolina area that involved his grandmother, chose to come home. North Carolina offered him a scholarship, and he now is on the team at North Carolina. That circumstance has not only been denied eligibility by the NCAA, but has been denied eligibility by an appeal board. It now has to go through a third process. The schools, Kent State, North Carolina State, that he transferred from, have written letters saying everything he says, the circumstances, everything, this is all legit. We were on board. We were happy to help him. This is something the NCAA that should be a no-brainer. And because he transferred, because 3 days after he transferred, the rule went into effect limiting the exemptions for a second transfer, he's had to fight this fight and has not been able to play yet this year, was not able to play in the first game. This is the ridiculousness of the NCAA in its purest form. There is no hiding behind how ridiculous this is from the NCAA perspective. This is a no-brainer that should be easily resolved, and it still hasn't been. He's in the process of having to put together a third appeal. Just absolutely ridiculous. When I read the story, my mind was blown that this is still, in everything that goes on in the NCAA right now, this is still something that's going on. That's just amazing to me.
And despite the support of coaches and the schools he was at, prominent sports personalities, it appears the NCAA has just dug in its heels, and they're not bending.
Yep, and that's just unreal to me. It really does blow my mind that with everything else that you've got going on that's legal, air quotes, that's legal now, this is something that we're going to draw a line in the sand over. Just mind-blowing. Really, really, really unfortunate, and looks bad on every way, in every way possible on the NCAA.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Now, what's your third takeaway?
Well, I'm going to highlight Texas State.
Oh, yeah.
what an incredible upset at Baylor. They travel up to Waco, pull off a huge upset. And the reason I want to talk about Texas State is because there's a former SEC quarterback that started for them. TJ Finley, remember him?
Absolutely, yeah.
Kid out of Ponchatoula, Louisiana, originally went to LSU, then transferred to Auburn. Now he's at Texas State. All he did was throw for 298 yards, three touchdowns, rush for another one, and lead Texas State to its first win over a Power 5 opponent ever.
Man, that's awesome.
Outstanding.
That's awesome.
Sometimes players need a new place. They need a new environment.
Yep.
And I'm always happy when it doesn't work out for a player. They get a new opportunity, and he made the most of that opportunity. So congratulations to TJ Finley.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Well, Texas State made history, and that's our cue to go ahead and pause right now for This Week in Sports History.
September 6, 1980, McAllister College takes the field to play Mount Scenario College of Wisconsin. McAllister College is carrying the longest losing streak in college football history, 50 games. McAllister, a small liberal arts college in St. Paul, Minnesota, had not won a game since 1974 and had been outscored by an average of 40 points per game. The streak had attracted national attention and ridicule. On this day, McAllister finally broke the curse by defeating Mount Scenario College 17-14 at home. The game was decided by a field goal, and the fans stormed the field in celebration. McAllister's coach, Jim Butterfield, said after the game, "I feel like I've been paroled."
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk about our CBS Sports Pick'em, Darren, after 1 week. What are the standings looking like?
Well, let's look at these standings because there's something interesting in those. Here, let me make sure that we can see those. Now, if you'll look right up there at the top, who is that? Oh, that's my name that's at the top. And the only reason I point that out is not to gloat in any way other than I don't think you were very happy with my pick of Utah over Florida last week, and I think it worked out.
Well, I think I'd be okay if you did a podcast highlighting Pac-12 teams.
Boy, that's a job I'm not going to get into because that won't last for another, 9 weeks?
But what do you do when your podcast sponsors a pick'em and one of the co-hosts is in first place? It's like, isn't that like insider trading?
We were upfront about them, though. We have record. We have, as they say, we've got the receipts of what we picked, so there is no disputing.
Nice. Well, congratulations, Darren, for your week one. You and Vanderbilt are kind of ruling the college football world now.
That's right. We're hanging out at the top right now. But we, Zach and Paul and Ben and No Name Jack and Misty, we appreciate all you guys being a part of this, and we'll talk about it again at the end. There's still plenty of time. We're only 1 week in. The amount of games will expand each week as we get into more and more SEC games. So there will be plenty of opportunity to make up for missed time. It is not too late. Click on the link down below. There we go. Click on the link down below, and you can still jump in and be a part of this.
A lot of football left to be played. So you can always – people can still join in if they want to, can't they?
Absolutely. Like I said, just – there we go. Part of my hand disappeared. That was kind of weird. But Hemisphere Back to the Future. Just down below, click on the link, and the password is pick'em 1234 exclamation point, and you'll be in and have plenty of time to catch up.
Well, let's go ahead and make some picks for this week, Darren. Of course, we're focusing only on SEC games and not all of the games, just a few of these games. So we're going to start off with Texas A&M, the Aggies coming off of a big win against New Mexico. Yeah, it's New Mexico. So, but good start for the Bobby Petrino offense.
Yeah, Connor, absolutely.
Connor Wegman looked incredible.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, to me, that's the bottom line. I don't, for my pick, I'm going absolutely A&M on this one, because for right now, the Bobby Petrino experiment is working. His offense is only going to get better. It looks like the quarterback Wegman is settled into the offense. And I have just seen nothing the last year or this year so far from Miami that tells me that they're going to be able to do anything about it. So, I think this is an easy pick for Texas A&M.
Yeah, put me down for the Aggies as well. An intriguing matchup, Arizona, which is making some big strides in mm-hmm. establishing a solid program there, travels to Starkville, where Mississippi State's coming off of a win against Southeastern Louisiana. Mississippi State, pretty veteran-led team. Mm-hmm. Will Rogers, mm-hmm. we've talked about him. I'm going with the Bulldogs here, Darren.
I'm in complete agreement. I think any nerves that you had, especially in the pre-conference schedule, any nerves that you had about Mississippi State were eased in that first game. The offense looks good. The defense looks good. I don't, even though Arizona is making improvement, I don't see anything they can do about Mississippi State. So I'm in agreement. This is a Mississippi State win.
Now it takes us to the West Coast. Auburn's traveling to play against Cal, which came into Denton, Texas last week and beat North Texas in the stifling heat and humidity. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Auburn coming off their first game win under new coach Hugh Freeze. Darren, who you like in this one?
I we're obviously, as you said last week, we don't hide our bias. We're fans of the SEC. We're fans of our schools, and we're fans of the SEC because our schools are a part of that. But that being said, this would absolutely shock me if Cal pulls off an upset over Auburn. Even though Auburn obviously still has some issues, I think this is a game Auburn can win.
Yeah, I'm going with Auburn as well. SMU, the Mustangs, travel to Norman, Oklahoma, for the Palace on the Prairie Palace on the Prairie to play the Oklahoma Sooners. Oklahoma just annihilated Arkansas State mm-hmm. in week one. I hated to see that for Butch Jones, but again, yep. that was a tune-up game for the Sooners.
Yep.
I think working off some frustration from last year. They go yep. against SMU, recently invited to join the ACC, so they're flying high right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with, they were already flying high with NIL. The boosters are like, this is what we tried to do in the 80s. Now we're allowed to do this. This is incredible.
Finally.
They were just before their time.
That's right. They were ahead of the curve. That's all they were doing.
Well, as much as SMU is getting more coverage in the national landscape, I don't think they're going to beat the Sooners. Not in Norman. I think Oklahoma is a much improved team from last year, so I'm going to go with the Sooners.
I'm in total agreement. You look at what Oklahoma did last week, and yeah, it was against Arkansas State, but man, it was still impressive and showed a lot offensively. I think we see that continued development. This is an Oklahoma win.
Next up, we have Vanderbilt traveling to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, to face the Demon Deacons from Wake Forest, minus Sam Hartman at quarterback. Vanderbilt 2-0, Darren,
that's
as
right.
You have already mentioned at least 20 mm-hmm. times on this episode.
Who, me? Did I bring that up? By the way, before we get into the game, did you see what I did there? I leaned in to like point at Vanderbilt and made my entire body disappear. I don't know how I did that. I'm a little freaked out, but go ahead.
I'm just giving you a moment here.
You go. Let me just point here. Let me just do that. Still looks like an invisible light coming in from the side. I don't know what that's about, but anyway, go ahead.
Are you done?
I think so.
I mean, you're as long as your team keeps winning, you can take these moments.
I see. Just it creates giddiness. There's nothing you can. There's nothing you can do about it. It just happens. So.
Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, Darren. I'm gonna support you and go with Vanderbilt here.
And I'm gonna do the same. It scares me just because the offense has showed the holes that it has. And even though they don't have the same quarterback they had last year, their offense has been consistent throughout the years for the most part. So I'm a little bit afraid of it, but I'm still going with Vanderbilt. I'm in agreement. And thank you for your support. I appreciate it greatly.
Interesting game. Ole Miss mm-hmm. is traveling down to New Orleans to face Tulane, a program that's really step back in the national spotlight, yeah, especially absolutely. With their season last year, and they seem to be continuing that winning trend. Ole Miss, a huge opening win against Mercer. Mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin's offense going to be exciting to watch. Darren, I'm going to go with Ole Miss pulling out the victory against Tulane.
And I'm in agreement. I'm going with Ole Miss as well, because the thing about it is, can Tulane potentially surprise them? Well, of course, when Tulane's played the way they have, especially the last year, there's that possibility. But we see this so many times when an SEC school plays a Power Five school that's having a next level school that's had a great year or is having a great year, and then they meet up against that SEC size and that SEC speed. And it just is not what they thought it was going to be. And so, I think that's going to be the case this time. I think Ole Miss wins.
And then a big game here, Texas versus Alabama. Now, this is one of my four down territory picks, Darren. So mm-hmm. I'm going to beg off choosing right now and save that for four down territory. But who do you have in this one?
You know, this has been a real back and forth for me, and I'm still kind of even unsure, just because there has been so much uncertainty all offseason. But I think you got to give Jalen Milroe some credit. I think he answered some questions. Texas has done nothing to tell me that they are going to lose this game, but at the same time, they've done nothing to tell me that they can beat Alabama, so that they can really rise to that occasion. And so that's what I'm going to have to stick with. So I'm going with Alabama in this one. And you'll tell us during your four down territory.
It's going to be a fun game.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of four down territory.
Let's go.
You're in four down territory.
This is one of our favorite sections to the podcast every college football season, and I love doing this, Darren. So let's get right into it. Four down territory. We pick our sure thing, the team that we are absolutely convinced is going to win no matter what. We also pick our upset of the week, and we include a brown bag. We'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute.
That's
and then
right.
Post-game quote of the week. So let's start with our sure thing pick. Out of the games this week, Darren, I'm going to go with my sure thing is Ole Miss winning at Tulane.
I think that's a good one. You know, we talked about that just a little bit ago, and I'm going to stick with Texas A&M over Miami. I'm just very confident that Miami just does not have what it takes to be the speed bump that A&M, what their offense looks like, they're going to be capable of. So I'm going to stick with Texas A&M over Miami as my sure thing.
How about your upset pick of the week?
Going to go with Vanderbilt. The Wake Forest is favored. Wake Forest is favored because it's a home game. If I'm going to pick them, I'm going to stick with them. So that's going to be my upset pick. How about you?
Pick them, stick with them. I like that.
I meant to do that. Sure, we'll go with it.
This was a tough one for me as I looked at the schedule. Who is a – just the games that are being played in the SEC this mm-hmm, week. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe I'll pick Austin Peay against Tennessee. No, that's absolutely ridiculous. That's not – Tennessee's going to win that game. It's not even going to be close. So I looked at this Texas-Alabama game, and I have a policy, unless they're playing LSU, I don't pick against Nick Saban because for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons, right, right.
But I kick this around. Quarterback change, is he for real? Are there any areas where Alabama could be exposed? And does Texas have some weapons that might be able to expose those? I'm not a huge Longhorn fan, especially when my son-in-law is a huge Oklahoma Sooners fan.
You're a smart man, right?
So I feel like I need to apologize to him for even making this pick. But something tells me this Texas-Alabama game that we may be surprised. And so I'm going to throw it out there, and Texas pulls off the upset.
So far, we're in our second week or week two of the season, even though there's a week zero. And in back-to-back podcast, you said last week Tennessee is pulling off the upset against Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide when that week rolls around. And now this week you're calling Texas to pull off the upset and beat Alabama.
Yeah, I said Tennessee because, you know, we have some listeners, Brandon, that was on the show. Yeah, he loves Tennessee. Yep. And so that's right. You got to support the people that support you.
Well, you know, we've talked about this going back to Texas, Alabama. We've talked about, you know, if Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, is it Ewers? Is that right? If he doesn't get hurt last year, that had the potential to very much be a different ball game. So he comes in strong and healthy this year. Who knows? I still think Texas is going to, or Alabama is going to win. Look, you almost swayed me and I didn't even, I still think Alabama is going to win, but man, that's a strong pick. That's a strong pick.
Yeah, and I don't feel that strongly about it is the problem, mm-hmm. Darren. But
I understand completely.
I think it's going to be a good game. Again, yep. Alabama is so tough to beat at Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see how that goes. So let's move on to our brown bag pick, and I'll just hope people skip that last section. So if Alabama beats them by 30 points, I won't have to listen to that.
We'll just pretend it didn't happen. That's what we'll do.
Now, on our brown bag pick, Darren, I believe you and I are in agreement. We picked the same one. So
yes,
why don't you go ahead and share with our listeners and watchers?
Well, let's just in case we have new watchers on board, which, by the way, we've been really, really thankful for the amount of speed we have picked up on YouTube so far, the amount of people that are viewing our videos and looking at, liking our videos, commenting on our videos. We are very, very thankful for that and encourage others to do so. But since we do have so many new viewers on YouTube, let's say that our brown bag pick is somebody from the last week that did something, whether it be a team, a coach, a player, in some cases in the past, it's been an entire school, whoever it is, that did something during the past week to earn the old brown bag over the face. You know, the old school Saints fans, you know, wearing the brown bag. That kind of brown bag is what we're talking about. And you and I were, as you said, unanimous this week in picking Shane Beamer to lose a game to North Carolina and then in the post-game press conference say, does anybody have any stats? Well, probably nobody does because that's been the whole problem. And we were trying to execute an onside kick and had to wait for the chain gang to eat their hot dogs. I mean, are you kidding me? And we're fans of Shane Beamer. You and I have talked about that before. But to me, I'm pretty certain that when he goes back and watches that, he will wish that will be a moment. That will be a video he wishes he could make disappear. Cause I think that was just out of frustration and aggravation and agitation in the heat of the moment. What a silly, silly thing to complain about. Just blew my mind. Definitely a brown bag moment for Shane Beamer.
Yeah. And we've all said things in the heat of the moment when our emotions are raw that we wish we hadn't said.
Absolutely.
For most of us, though, we've never done that on national television.
Exactly. That's definitely the disadvantage he's at there.
I think you're right, Darren. I think it was an emotional response. Yeah, and
definitely.
You know, it's one of those things you go back, you process it, you think about it. You may have a different viewpoint on it. So by all means, Coach Beamer is a quality guy, a good coach. Absolutely. And, you know, it's tough. This is an emotional game.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, What are we going to do to top that with a post-game quote of the week, Darren? What did you find this week?
Well, we've talked several times in the past, and we'll continue to talk into the future. Unfortunately, as we've talked about before, when it comes to post-games of the weeks, there's a couple of guarantees. Unfortunately, one of those guarantees is no longer with us in Coach Mike Leach. He was always good for a good post-game quote. But in the same state, there's another coach that's always good for a post-game quote. So I'm just going to hit play, and we can watch Lane Kiffin give us our post-game quote of the week.
After that first play by Mercer, the touchdown, just how did you feel the defense kind of responded after that, just overall in it with this new system undergoing?
Well, I said on the headset, I paid a lot of money, Pete, for you, and that's not exactly what we're expecting. So that wasn't a real good start, but they did tell me after that we only get 14 yards rushing, so maybe my joke he responded to. But, no, that first play broke on the quarterback pulling it, and then we settled down and played really well. And I thought did a number of things to kind of give them some issues.
To me, part of what's awesome about that is I can absolutely guarantee you with just a very little bit of doubt that he said that. He absolutely said that on the headset after the just kind of keep things going, keep everybody moving in the right direction. No big deal. Let's execute our game plan. I have zero doubts that he said that on the headset.
Great sense of humor. And I doubt if Pete was still at Alabama and that happened, that Saban would have said that to him.
Do you think there would have been a joke of some kind Saban would have had? No, you know?
Probably not.
No. Definitely not. I agree.
Well, thank you again for watching this episode of the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. Remember to make your picks in our CBS College Football Pick'em. You can join even if you miss the first week. You can still join. Be sure to subscribe to this channel, like us, comment. Any feedback is good feedback in our eyes. If we made a mistake, which we are frequently prone to do in these shows, point out our mistake, and we'd love to correct those and also give you credit for correcting our mistake.
Absolutely.
Remember, new episodes drop every Tuesday. You can listen at your convenience on whatever platform you choose to listen to, or you can come here and watch us on YouTube. We're not the best looking guys in the universe, but hey, we both took showers this morning.
That's right. And we love talking about football. So,
but I don't think that matters when you're watching online. Can you?
Is that a 4D experience if there's smell involved? Is that something like that?
So that's about it for us. I'm going to, as a grieving LSU fan, still hurting very deeply, I'm going to sign off with my exultant, joyful Vanderbilt co-host who is on the top of the world right now.
Absolutely.
Thank you again. Thank you again for watching and listening. We'll see you next week. Until then, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. See you next week.